Good morning. Would you like to be coming in and taking your seats, please? And we will make a start in just a moment. It's lovely to welcome you here this morning. Looks like the sun's coming out, which is even nicer, isn't it, to have a lovely sunny day to come and worship God together. My name is Judith Keane. I'm going to be leading our service today, and later on Tristan will be coming to speak to us. But first of all, I would really like to say you're particularly welcome if you're visiting us, or if you're here perhaps for the first time, or you haven't been very often. We really hope that you thoroughly enjoy being with us and worshipping together. An extraordinary turn of events. I don't think when this last happened, I don't have any notices to give. Can this be the Church of England, we ask ourselves? But there is, of course, lots of information on the website, and for those of you who sign up to our email notices, all sorts of things are going on, so do have a look at those. But now we're going to start with a fantastic song of just acknowledging how wonderful our God is and how he helps us through all stages of our life. So perhaps you'd like to stand, and if the children and young people would like to come and get an instrument to join in, that would be fantastic. It'd be good if we could make a really good noise as we worship together. Okay, thank you. So perhaps stand if you'd like to, and come and get an instrument, and then we're going to sing My Lighthouse together. Flag waving. Thank you. Well, I've got a really nice job to do this morning, which is to read the banns of marriage for two members of our congregation, which makes it particularly special. For Simon, am I allowed to embarrass you? Simon on our sound desk at the back there. And Ellie, who was singing but has gone and hidden in the congregation. So Ellie, hey. Okay, so I published The Bands of Marriage between Simon Andrew Noble of St. Mary's Pickersley and Ella Louise Quinlan of St. Mary and St. Michael. This is for the first time of asking, and if anyone knows any reason why they may not be married, you are to declare it. Well, let's pray for Simon and Ellie, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of love, and we thank you for bringing Simon and Ellie together. And as they prepare for their wedding, for their lives together, we pray that they will know every blessing, that they will know your love, that they will grow in love together, and that we'll just look forward to that day when they join their hands in front of us all. And Lord, we ask that you will bless them today and every day. Amen. Phew, I remembered that bit. Right. So, we are thinking today about faithfulness, a life of faithfulness. And I just wondered if maybe any of our younger people could tell us, what do you think it means to be faithful to God? Anyone got any ideas? Yeah, anyone? Someone at the back. That is absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much. I think that's an absolutely brilliant description of what it means to be faithful. And and one way we can do that, one way we can find out about God and how faithful he is to us and how we can be faithful to him is to find out more about him, so that we can do the things that make God happy. And there was somebody wrote about this thousands of years ago in one of the Psalms in the Bible, about how we can help each other to find out more about him. So we're gonna read these words together. So let's say this together. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And there we go, putting our trust in God and teaching our children and each other the wonderful things that God has done. And I thought this was quite appropriate because we've got lots of things coming up in schools at the moment, and a bit later on Heather's going to come and tell us about one of those things. But we do have people and Christians who go into schools and tell our young people there and our children about God, and people who perhaps don't often get a chance to hear about that. And so I thought it'd just be nice if we could take a moment to think about friends who we would like to know a bit more about Jesus. And maybe that's a friend at school, or maybe we're a bit older, and it's another friend. So if you look in the backs of the chairs nearest the aisle, and the people in the front row, there's some paper and pencils on the windowsills. And I thought if we just take a piece of paper each and write down the name of a friend who you would like to find out more about Jesus. So has everybody got that? Has everybody been able to find some paper and pencils? Those of you who are at the very back, they're up on the side there. Well done, Helen, thank you. So has everybody got a piece of paper who wants one? So just have a think about who is a friend you would like to find out more about Jesus. Okay, and if you'd like to pass those down to the middle, and perhaps somebody would like to help collect those up, and we'll just bring all those names to the front. Okay, thank you all. And look at that, what a lot of names. Oh, and another one coming up, thank you very much. All those names. And the wonderful thing is our God knows each and every one of those people, and he loves them very much. So let's just pray for ourselves and for all these people now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our friends. You tell us it's not good to be alone, and you bless us with family and friends all around us. We thank you for giving us people to talk to and to laugh with. We pray for our friends today that they will find out more about you and how much you love them. They're blessings to us, God, when we need them. So help us to be a blessing to them, to be a good friend to them, and to spread his love. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's just pray for our young people, and then they will be going out to their groups. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the children, for the young people in our church, for those who teach them and look after them, and who pass on that word to them, just as we read in that psalm. So we pray now that they will go out, that they will have fun, and they will find out more about you. Amen. Okay. So if you'd like to leave us now, and we'll see you later. And Heather is going to come and tell us now about one of those initiatives that is going to be taking place in our schools.
Good morning. I'm going to be talking about Open the Book, which is an initiative which is supported by Bible Society. But just before I do, I would like to draw your attention to this magazine. I have some copies. I will have some copies at the back, because remarkably, it's got a picture of a lighthouse on it. And that is the cover of the Bibles that have been supplied by Bible Society to people in Ukraine since the war started there. And there has been a huge demand for the Bible. And it is a picture of a lighthouse. So I just commend these magazines to you to read out more about Ukraine and other things. It's wonderful, isn't it, to see our children, not so many today as sometimes, but to see them going out and to know that they're going to be learning about God's love for them, to be learning about Jesus and how he wants to be their saviour and lead them in their life. But there are so many children who don't even know a Bible story. So I'm going to just play a short blend of two videos about this. I hope.
Hi, I'm Kerry, head of Open the Book here at Bible Society. When you come to church and the Bible is shared with you, have you ever wondered who might be sharing the Bible beyond these walls? Maybe it could be you. With a busy life, I wanted to help a local school, but if I was going to get involved in helping out at a primary school assembly, it was going to have to be fun and not have hours and hours of preparation. So at Open the Book, some of our teams of storytellers include those who are parents, students, grandparents, home workers, and people from all walks of life. And I see these storytellers as sowers of seeds. We probably won't see these seeds grow, but of course, if we don't plant any seeds, we're not going to have a harvest. And sometimes we don't see things immediately, just like a poppy seed that can lay dormant in the ground for many, many years, and suddenly it springs to life and we see these beautiful flowers just when we least expect it. In Psalm 78, verse 4, it says, "We will tell the next generation." Now, someone has shared the Bible with you. Will you now share it and pass it on to the next generation?
It's like you actually get to take part even when you're just listening. When, before I went to this school, I didn't know anything about the Bible, and now I know a lot about the Bible because I've opened the book.
In the Bible, there's not many pictures, and in Open the Book, it might be funner if you see actions and all that.
It's just wonderful to share Bible stories. So much of our heritage, our culture, our art, so much of our society comes from Bible stories. And they are fabulous stories to share.
So you're acting as the poor and the outcasts and the ones that people don't normally invite to a party.
The kids love joining in, they love dressing up, they love being part of it. So I've seen children with not very much confidence really grow because they're doing it with an adult and they've got that support.
The man invited the rich people, but Jesus said invite the poor people next time. What I learned was you can help the rich, but help people who actually need help.
It was very different to ones that we've had before, and it's a story that I haven't heard before either, so it was quite nice to actually know it and let it sink in.
These are life-changing, life-affirming stories, and it needs to go to as bigger audience as possible. And Open the Book does it in a way that is very accessible for primary school children.
So blessed in Morven that we have the opportunity to share the word with so many schools, not just church schools, but state schools as well. And before lockdown, we were going into a number of schools regularly. During lockdown, Pete, who's over here, has been helping us to put together videos to send to the schools. But in September, we're hoping that we can start in a small way to begin with, to go back into the schools. It's all scripted, and this was the starting point for the stories, the Storyteller Bible. Because it's going into school, we're not allowed to preach the gospel, but by telling Bible stories and drawing out their message, as you saw in that video, we're sowing seeds. But now we're looking for more volunteers, because some of our volunteers aren't able to help anymore. And I hope that you will have been touched both by the words we read from the psalm and for their repetition there, our responsibility to share the good news that's in the Bible with the next generation. So I shall be at the back of church or in the foyer at the end of the service, and I'm hoping there'll be lots of you who feel, yes, I would like to volunteer. There are training videos, and it would not be a heavy obligation by any means, but it's a great joy. So may I commend it to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Heather. And can I just say, I did not know when we chose the Lighthouse song, I didn't know that was on the cover. And also, when I chose Psalm 78 to read, I didn't know that that was mentioned in the video. So God does work in some mysterious ways, doesn't he, to bring those together. We're going to have a time of song worship now, and we've chosen some songs that I think are a little bit more reflective and just give us an opportunity to think about the faithful God who we can know and worship. So I'll hand over to the music group.
Oh,
Father, thank you that you are so great, and yet you are not a God who is beyond us and distant, but a God who wants us to know him and to love him, and a God who wants us to become more like your precious Son. And we just thank you that if we want that too, you help us to grow those fruits that the Spirit gives. We thank you for all this and so much more that you do for us every day. Amen. Thank you. Do please take a seat. And Pauline is going to come and read to us, and then Tristan will be coming to speak to us. Thank you.
Two readings. The first reading this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses 1 to 4. It's on page 210 if you want it in the church Bible. Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. The second reading is from Matthew, chapter 25, and it's on page 994, the Church Bible. It's starting at verse 14. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold bought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It was to 23, wasn't it?
Thank you. Thank you. And just invite you to come and share what you prepared with us.
Good morning. Well, when I heard that definition of faithfulness called out from the back, I think it was Abby. I thought, well, my work here is done. So could have saved myself several hours and we could have cut the service short by 15 minutes. But as I'm here, I'll just tell you what I've thought anyway. See if we can expand on it a little bit. I wonder how many avid readers we might have amongst us Now, obviously, everyone reads the Bible every day. We're going to take that as a given. That one's safe. But how many of you relax by curling up on the sofa with a good book and escaping into another world for a little while? Or maybe you're a bit of a movie buff. Your idea of a good time is to go and sit in a dark room with a bunch of strangers for a couple of hours, catching up on the latest blockbuster. I have to admit, I'm a bit of both. Although, I'm not sure my wife enjoys the fact that I spend so much time doing those things, but there we are. Being a bookworm and a cinephile can be problematic, though, especially when there's a book that you really love, and then they make a film out of it. You see, there's always a risk that the movie that you see isn't the same as the version you played in your head as you were reading the book. Now, I don't know if you read this book here. It's Delia Owens' 2018 debut novel, Where the Crawdads Sing. If you haven't, it's very good. I recommend it. There's a few nods and a few waves. So if you haven't read it, you might know it's actually about to be released as a film. I think it's next week, or the next couple of weeks. It's a story of this young woman, Kaya, who is the main suspect in a murder. And we follow her from her childhood. She grows up on her own in the swamps in North Carolina. And the locals nickname her the Marsh Girl. Now, for those who did read it, I don't know about whether you've felt the same as I did, but when I read this story of this wild, untamable girl who grew up on her own in the swamp, I didn't picture someone quite so well-groomed as this. Now, I'm sure Daisy Edgar Jones is a very good actress, but where's the mud? She should have matted hair and certainly some streaks of blood on her face, but maybe not. And it's not just that the visuals of the film feel so different to what you imagine. Sometimes they cut big chunks of the book out. I mean, okay, this is a very big book, but Tom Bombadil doesn't feature in the films at all. And they add in extra bits. There's a bit in The Two Towers where Aragorn nearly dies in a warg attack that isn't even in the book. Sorry, it's a bit of my bugbear. I know Simon and Ellie are going to get upset by this, but, you know, Peter Jackson has a lot to answer for those films. But there we are. If you are a fan of a particular book, the question you have to ask yourself before you go and see the movie version is, how faithful is it to the source material? What do we mean by that? I guess what we're really asking is it a true representation of the original? Does it tell the same story? Have they missed anything out? Or added up their own made-up ideas? Essentially, will I recognize the book I love if I go and see this movie? And I guess that's one way we can define the fruit of faithfulness in us. If cultivating the fruit of the Spirit is about growing in Christ-likeness, then hopefully we're becoming a true representation of the original. That's God. Do our lives tell the same story to other people that they could read in the Bible? When we demonstrate God's love to other people, do we miss anything out? Or maybe we even add in our own made-up ideas? Or do we stay faithful to the source? Do other people recognize the God who we love when they watch the movie that's our daily lives? What I love about going through this series of the Fruit of the Spirit is there's so much richness of meaning in each of the different aspects. It's really good to kind of go and, having listened to what was said on a Sunday, to go into life groups and then discuss it even more, because you often find that different people in your groups have got wildly different ideas of what it means to cultivate that particular fruit in your life. And so you end up pooling all these different ideas that other people have and growing your own viewpoint, expanding your own understanding of them just by talking about it with other people. Each of those fruits that Paul mentions in Galatians have got loads and loads of different layers. And often there's kind of an overlap between all of them. So faithfulness doesn't really stand on its own. I think we saw that in particular last week. Denise gave a definition of goodness. And in the definition was the word kindness. So there's automatically this overlap between all the different fruits. And when we were discussing patience in our life group, Someone made the point that it's very difficult to be gently impatient or even gently angry. Just try it. So the fruit all grows together in us, unsurprisingly. It is one fruit, after all. But before we look at how else we might define faithfulness in ourselves, I want to look at what it means for God himself to be faithful. So that first reading we heard from Deuteronomy 32, that's the start of what's often known as the Song of Moses. It comes right towards the end of Deuteronomy, and Joshua has just been commissioned to take over from Moses. And God has told Moses he's about to die. But before he does, God wants him to teach the words of this song to Israel. And then he goes on, and that's the beginning of the passage. So that bit was right at the very start of it. And it's quite a positive bit. It's highlighting some of God's good attributes. It talks about his greatness, his perfection, his justice, and his faithfulness. And then the rest of the song kind of contrasts with that a little bit. It talks about the faithlessness of Israel, how they've forgotten God and worshipped other idols and turned their backs on him. But despite all of that Israel do, God promises that he's going to help them. He's going to give them victory over their enemies. He's going to be faithful. It's a theme you can find all throughout the Old Testament. God is good, his people, not so much. But God stays true to who he is, and he delivers on his promises. Check out Psalm 89. This is verse 30 and 34 in Psalm 89. God's talking about David. It says this: "If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I'll punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered." So the point here is that God is completely trustworthy. That's the definition we had at the beginning, wasn't it? And it doesn't depend on what we do in any way. And that's the definition of faithfulness that Chris Wright kind of focuses on in the book, if you've got a copy of the book that we've been following in this series. In that book he writes, being faithful means being trustworthy and dependable. And God shows he's trustworthy and dependable time and time again throughout Scripture. Even when, and perhaps actually especially when, we his people aren't. If you were here back in the autumn, you will remember we were going through Exodus 34. And there's a passage in there where God passes in front of Moses and basically explains who he is on Mount Sinai. It says, the Lord, a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Faithfulness is part of who God is. It's in his very nature. And if it's the very nature of God, then it's also the very nature of Christ. And it's part of what we need to cultivate if we're growing in Christlikeness. So how are you doing at being trustworthy and dependable? At embodying faithfulness? I want to take a look at three different ways that we might show faithfulness. Three directions in which to focus it, if you will. So there's faithfulness towards God, faithfulness towards each other, and faithfulness on our front lines. That first direction then is towards God. How do we show faithfulness to God? In 1980, I was just about alive. In 1980, Eugene Peterson published a book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. I haven't read it, but it's on the list, and I'm not sure they're going to make a movie version of it. So the title is taken from a quote by Friedrich Nietzsche, but Eugene Peterson kind of applies it to discipleship. And the point being that discipleship is this lifelong commitment of obedience to Jesus, or faithfulness to him. And faithfulness in that context kind of implies a sense of loyalty and dependability. It's inherently a long-term thing. You don't describe people who give up on things easily as a faithful people. Following Jesus isn't easy, and it requires perseverance. Paul describes it as a race to be run. 1 Corinthians 9 reads this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. "Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." It doesn't sound like an easy race, does it? Sounds pretty tough. Discipleship is about taking up your cross daily and focusing on Jesus rather than being distracted by all that the world has to offer. Just before he died in Rome, Paul wrote again to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." Paul stuck at it faithfully to the very end. Do we have what it takes to finish our race? So the second direction in which we might focus our faithfulness is towards one another. Are we faithful in our relationships with each other? How good a friend are you? Are you available when things are easy and perhaps not so much when it gets difficult? Or are you one of those people who rejoices with those who rejoice and mourns with those who mourn? It's a lot easier just knowing people on a superficial level, isn't it? We don't need to put in a lot of effort. We don't need to reveal too much about ourselves. And we don't have that awkwardness when we ask someone, "How are you doing?" and they actually answer you properly. But Jesus calls us to be a community that knows one another deeply, that supports one another through thick and thin, that challenges one another and holds each other accountable. To be faithful to one another with that long-term dependability. And actually, that's really difficult to do in a large group setting like this, isn't it? Looking out, I recognise most of you. I don't know everyone's name. But the number of people I've actually spoken to one-on-one is a smaller group. And the people I'd say I know well is an even smaller group than that. And I think that's why in a church this size, life groups are so important. So I'm going to plug life groups. If you're not in one, get in touch with Val. Or go on the website and you go on the menu. It's Church Life, Life Groups, on the menu on the website. And you can sign up and find a group. So I'd encourage you to do that. And find a group where you can discuss more, these things more deeply. Get to know people, because you don't really get to know people in a group this big. It's just not possible. And find one or two people that you can get to know really well. Maybe meet up and pray with them. Or hold each other accountable where you know you need to be held accountable. And then be someone that they can rely on too. Someone who they can depend on, whatever circumstances you find yourself in together. And then the third direction to faithfulness is towards mission. Into our front lines. Are we faithful in the work that God has given us to carry out? When Paul left the Ephesians, he did a bit of a farewell speech, which is in Acts 20, and he said this. He said, "And now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what happened to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." When I was younger, I often asked God what his plan was for my life. What's my mission? And then I'd sit there and wait for him to tell me. And do you know what? I never heard a booming voice from the sky telling me exactly how my life was going to go or what job I needed to take or where I was going to live. I guess Sometimes people get that, don't they? But I never have. And I don't think God necessarily works like that very often. But each of us is in a unique position. We can testify to the good news of God's grace wherever we are, right now. Maybe you're at school, college, or at work, in an office, in a hospital, in a field. Maybe you're in a care home, or you go to the school gate every day, or you visit toddler groups. Wherever you find yourself, day to day, you can testify to the good news of God's grace. You might be the only person in that context that knows God. And if that's the case, who else is going to tell them about him? I think that's one way of reading the parable from Matthew. It's easy to kind of make it about money. Often we make it about gifts or something tangible, just because in the story the master gives out bags of gold. But what if the bags represent opportunity? What if they represent the day-to-day context we find ourselves in? So those first two servants, they make the most of their situations. They've been given different things, or in this other reading, they've been put into different contexts, and they do what they can where they are. And what does the master say? He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things." But that man who had one bag of gold, he did nothing with it. Perhaps he was waiting for the same opportunities that the other has had. It's easy, I think, to think, well, at some point in the future, it will be easier to share about God. I'll be in a place where it's easier than where I am now. I'll wait until then. But that's like taking the bag of gold and digging a hole and burying it. Okay, even if he had done something with it, he might only have gained one more bag of gold. He might have only spoken to one person about God, but it's more than none. And having been faithful in that one thing, it's likely he would have been given more opportunity like the other guys were. So God is with each one of us wherever we are at this moment in our lives. Wherever you find yourself tomorrow morning, God's giving you opportunity to testify to the good news of his grace to those around you. Will you accept the challenge and get that "well done, good and faithful servant"? A couple of years ago, we went on a holiday to Cornwall and we visited St. Michael's Mount. If you've never been, I'd thoroughly recommend it. It's free to National Trust members. We walked around the gardens and we came across this plant. Not the greatest feature of it. It was a classic Cornwall cloudy day. But this plant had a placard next to it which read, "Agave Americana, commonly known as the century plant," because it was believed originally that it would take 100 years to flower. It doesn't take 100 years to flower. It's a mere 25 to 30. But we were particularly fortunate because this plant was flowering. For the first time, and in fact the only time, having grown there for 45 years. And it's enormous. It's like 10, 15 feet high. There's another photo I had with Jan in it, but I didn't think she'd appreciate me putting a photo of her up, where you can get some scale. But trust me, it was big. This enormous spike with these enormous yellow flowers on it. And I think that's just it's such an amazing picture of long-term faithfulness in our walk with Jesus. Be an agave Americana. Discipleship isn't a quick thing. We don't become perfect overnight, unfortunately. It takes time spent following Jesus, listening to Jesus, walking as Jesus walked. It takes years of faithful perseverance and slow, patient growth. But one day, in the future, when Christ returns, that slow, patient growth will burst forth into this amazing flower and we'll be transformed into the people that God created us to be, reflecting his glory. Giant flower spike. So how might we want to respond? We're going to move on into intercessions in a bit, but after that there'll be a final song. And I just thought that there's a few things that you, few ways that you might want to respond during that song. And I thought of three areas, really. There's an area of healing, an area of confession, and an area of renewal or growth. Perhaps you've been hurt by someone who has had a lack of faithfulness. Maybe a spouse or a friend. Maybe a leader who's been in a position of authority and not been faithful in that. Maybe you need to come and ask God for healing. Maybe you want to confess to a lack of faithfulness from yourself in any of those areas we've looked at. Or maybe you want to grow. You want to ask God to increase your faithfulness. Or maybe to build some new relationships that you can be faithful in. Or give you a renewed passion for that mission on our front lines. So if any of that is something you want prayer for, during the last song, just come up and someone from the prayer team will pray with you. But we're going to go now into the intercession. So Joan, please, could you come and do that? Thank you.
It's interesting that we are really thinking about children at the moment in so many areas. So let us pray together to our God. Father, we want to first of all look at the world. And as we look, we find it has great needs and so much sadness there. There is unrest and there is war. There is suffering. And there are those fleeing persecution. But Father, we thank you that there are those who are faithful to you and who continue to walk with you through everything. So we pray that you would hold back the aggressor in the Ukraine and that you would protect those going in to help and relieve the situation there. And there are so many other places in the world too where people stand in your name. And we thank you for Terry and Hanka English with their school for children in Czechoslovakia, bringing normality back to the lives of those who've suffered so much. And we pray for those in power, those who have authority, those who are leaders. We pray for unity in NATO, and we think of the recent G7 summit discussions. And we pray, O Father, for a solution to this crisis. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we think of the church worldwide, and we think of those who minister here, not only in Malvern, and we pray for Dave and other leaders in our town, and leaders in other countries, and those who've gone forth, like the Fletcher family in Bangkok. They're in a time of transition at the moment, so, and with their family of children, we pray, O Father, that you be with them as they prepare for change and adjusting to the different needs in their family and the challenges that they face. We thank you for their faithfulness and their commitment in spite of everything. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we just give you thanks for the young people in our church who are being cared for at the moment by leaders. We thank you for them. And we thank you for those who've been taking exams and they are now complete and coming to the end of another year. Lord, it's been difficult, and there's been uncertainty and there's been disruption. But we pray for teachers and students as they await the results and wonder what the next stage in their life will be like. Lord, may they be able to stop and to remember you as the Lord of their lives, perhaps, and one who will give guidance. And we thank you so much for the privilege that we have to share in Seeds for Life with junior youngsters, and for the 500 juniors who've enjoyed Life Path in the Priory, who were given the question, which pathway will you take in life? We thank you too for Urban Saints and Spree, with 500 teenagers this weekend of sporting activities with a Christian flavour at Rock UK. Lord, be with them in their relationships and their joy as they take part in those activities. And we pray for the ongoing work at the Bridge. We pray for Neil and Sue, that you'd help them in that challenging work, O Lord, in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In Worcester Cathedral yesterday, Adam Wharton was ordained deacon to be chaplain at Malvern College, alongside James Williams, who many will remember, who is coming to work at Malvern Link with Cowley. We thank you too for Rose Upson, who was also ordained last weekend in Sheffield Cathedral. Lord, be with them as they learn and practice their new areas of ministry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray too for all with concerns about their health, either in body, mind or spirit. We pray for those in pain or who are waiting treatment. We pray for the lonely, those coping with difficult relationships, those anxious about their financial situation at the moment, and those who mourn. Especially we bring Ken Beecroft to you after the loss of his wife, Trish. And let's just take a moment, just bring to God perhaps an individual that we have on our heart who needs so much to know the presence of God in their lives. Comfort and heal all these, we ask in your name, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Thank you for blessing us, Lord, and lead us in the coming week to be a blessing to others. In the name of the Father and in the power of the Spirit. Amen. And we'll say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, we're coming to the end of our service now, but before we sing our final song, let's just take a moment to think about what Tristan said to us. And as we think about the race that we are running at the moment, or maybe some of us feel we're just about managing to walk or hobble along, what is it? Is there something that we need to ask for help for? Do we need some healing in our life? Is there something where we need to be confessing? Or are we looking for renewal or growth so that we can start really, really running again? So let's just take a moment or so to think about that quietly. Then we're going to sing our final song, which is King of My Heart, as we commit ourselves again to Jesus. There will be prayer ministry if anyone would like that. Otherwise, let's just sing that song together as a sort of affirmation of our confidence and determination to keep on running that race. So a moment of quiet, and then we'll sing our final song. Ministry, perhaps you'd just like to move to the back. I love that metaphor of the flower spike. I'm a biologist by background, an ecologist, and I have to say that idea of bursting out into blossom is more attractive to me than wearing a crown, which sounds like a bit of a pain in the neck to me. So let's all look forwards to being those glorious flower spikes and hearing Jesus say, well done to us. So God of power, may the boldness of your spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your spirit lead us. May the gifts of your spirit equip us to serve and worship you, so that the movie of our life is faithful to the God we love, now and always. Amen. So thank you. Do hope you have a good week. Do please stay if you can. I think, is there tea and coffee? Hopefully there is. Take that chance to get to know somebody a little bit better. And if you do want to speak to somebody, there will be people at the back of the church. Thank you.
See you.